Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining in today, my brothers and sisters, and I'm thanking you for honoring the Lord and giving respect and honor to His name and to His Word. The Bible says that God will honor in return those that honor Him, and He does, doesn't He? Well, this is Brother Thurman, and we're going to go back into our study today of the study of the letter D, 2, and we're studying death. Death. And let me just say this before we get started on these recordings, because I don't listen to every one of them after I get done with them, and all these recordings are done from scratch. I mean, if you hear a cat meowing in the background, you hear it raining, if you hear, I scan through them just to make sure there's no, you know, it didn't mess up somewhere from beginning to end, and just, I kind of just touch it in about four or five places all the way through to make sure it recorded like it said it did. But I don't listen to them, and I don't know everything that y'all hear, except for what I've said. So if you hear something that's strange or unprofessional, it's probably because it's strange and unprofessional. Listen, if you're listening to these, you're not listening to somebody that's trying to be a hero for expertise in speaking, okay? I'm just teaching the Bible and just telling you what the Lord has told me and showed me in the Scriptures. And I kind of like it that way. I'm comfortable with a person that speaks ground level, you know, and that's the only way I can, because I can't get no higher than that. But that's what I wanted to say is don't be embarrassed by my speaking and the things I might say wrong or things that don't sound like I have good speech or something, because I don't. Okay? But I do know how to explain myself sometimes. So knowing all that, let's get into our study today, and I want to recap just a little bit about what we talked about. What the last place that we left off was talking about death natural. Death natural. Now, we've talked about the death of the saints. We've talked about the death of the wicked. But now we're talking about death natural. And we looked at some truths the last time that we studied and on our last study about death naturally, and that it's the consequence of sin, that it is the lot of everybody. It's the lot of all. That's everybody's lot. Everybody's going to die unless the Lord intervenes. It ends your earthly life, okay, being out of the body. And then Christ delivers from the fear of it. And we talked quite a bit about that, and I'm grateful for that, aren't you? And we also said that some escaped from it. They didn't have to die. And some are going to escape from it. The Bible tells us that in Thessalonians and in Corinthians about the rapture, about the Lord's coming. Not the second coming, but when the Lord comes to get the bride. That's us. Comes to get us and take us home. We'll have a marriage supper and appear at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to see what we've done in the body and to be rewarded for it according to the Bible, according to the Scriptures. Then we talked about that all are to be raised from it, the dead that are in Christ and the saved, the saints are going to be raised, all of them, and all of the wicked are going to be the ungodly, the just and the unjust, the Bible says in Acts chapter 24. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Now, in the Bible, there are seven resurrections, actually, and I'm not going to go into that right now, but we'll talk about that on another study. I think I'm even going to do a study on that. I'm not sure, but I believe I will, since I've mentioned it. And so don't think that everybody's going to stay in the dirt. Nobody's going to stay in the dirt. Everybody is coming up. And everybody's going to stand before the Lord one way or another. You're either going to stand before Him in love and admiration and praise and see the Lord reward you and see some of the things that you've done in the body burn up. Not you burn up, but the things that you've done, your works that you did for the Lord after you were saved. Some of them are going to be very valuable, and the Lord's going to be proud of you, and the Lord's going to reward you for it. And then some of them are going to be shameful, and they're going to burn up. But you're not going to be judged by them because you've been forgiven for them already and redeemed from them, see. Okay, so this is only the things that you've done in the body, not the things that, not your sins as when you were unsaved. Those are already nailed to the cross. They're done. Okay, but everybody's coming up from the grave, and the wicked are going to stand at the white throne judgment in God's courtroom, and it's not to be found out whether they're guilty or innocent. It's a sentencing judgment at the white throne judgment. They're going to go open the books and look at all their works and what they've done and how wicked they've been, and the Lord's going to pass sentence on them. All of them are going to go to hell and go in the lake of fire, but there's different degrees of punishment. And the Lord's going to divvy it out. And I'm glad I'm not going to be there, aren't you? You better be. You should be. We should always be grateful for God's grace to have gotten us out of hell and taken His wrath off of us. We should always be grateful for that and never stand up and try to be proud and haughty like we deserved it or something, because we didn't. We didn't. The Lord's done everything, and we should always make ourselves be thankful on purpose to Him for that. Amen. Death naturally, all are going to be raised from it. And then we've seen some illustrations of regeneration having to do with death naturally. Something that's dead that regenerates, like seeds and things like that, and plants, and all the things that the Bible tells us about being regenerated, about coming back to life. Coming back to life. The Bible says, for if we are have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. We're going to come back to, our bodies are going to come back to life. They're going to come back, and we're going to get them, and we're going to live in them. And they're going to be perfect, fashioned like unto His glorious body. His glorious body. Not these glorious bodies. All these women and all these men are running around trying to spend $1 billion to keep from looking like they're dying when they are dying. And running around thinking that they look this way and look that way and deceiving themselves. The Bible says that the bodies that we're residing in now are vile. Vile bodies. Look up that word vile. Today we're going to go into the B section of death naturally. We're still in studying death naturally, but we're going to talk about things that the Bible describes having to do with death naturally. For instance, death naturally is described in the Scriptures as a return to dust. A return to dust. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You know, the Lord said it, and you go dig anybody's grave up that's been there long enough, even the bones have turned to dust. The bones last a lot longer than the flesh, and the worms and everything get that part, but it eventually all turns right back to dust. Turns right back to dust. The Lord, isn't that something? No wonder them people, them evolutionists say, are trying to figure out and find that, what they call it, the missing link. They're trying to find that missing link because, they need to hurry up before the Lord comes and prove that, man's getting better. Because God says you're going back to dust. They better hurry up and prove it. They better hurry up and prove it before they die. Because everybody's trying to stay alive, but them evolutionists trying to stay alive by the wrong avenue and the wrong road. They're going down the wrong road. God's made tremendous and wonderful promises to everybody if they'll just take it and believe it. Take it and believe it. But you got a man out there that says that he thinks he comes from a rock and a pool of soup, And he's getting better and better and better and better. And the more intelligent he gets, and learns more, the more science he learns and this, that, and the other, he's just going to live forever. And he knows better in his heart. He knows he's lying to himself and he's lying to everybody else. One day he's going to, that breath is going to leave him. The Lord's going to say, he's going to take that breath away from him and he's going to fall like a rock and hit the ground, and they're going to take his corpse and go bury it. And his soul's going to come out of him, and he is going to come out of his body, that is, and he's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. Now, God has never contradicted the Lord, and the scriptures have never contradicted themselves concerning this matter of death. The Bible assumes death. It talks on purpose about death. It never puts death into a doubting matter of whether it is or whether it isn't. And the death, as we see and as we've been studying, the Bible goes into a great description of death. And we've been over some of it and still got more to go over. So, and it talks about different kinds of death having to do with different kinds of beliefs. And if you believe that you came from a rock or a pool of soup, and you believe that you're getting better and the world's getting better and everything else, you're fooling yourself, friend. There's what's that word? Entropy. Things are breaking down. Everything is getting worse. The longer you live, the more wrinkled you're going to get. And the older your body's going to get, and the weaker and the more frail it's going to get. You don't have to go out and find garbage. You make garbage every day. You don't have to find a mess. You make messes every day. You have to clean up a mess. You know, just everything's getting worse. So it's described as a return to dust. Death naturally. Okay, and that's not all. Death naturally is described in the scriptures as a removal from removal of the breath. Removal of breath, the Bible says. I want to remind you that I'm not telling you these. I'm telling you because I believe them, but I'm also giving you these scriptures. That's what makes them true. That's why we can believe it, okay? We believe it because it's from our God's word and its doctrine. It's what our Lord teaches. But death naturally is described as a return to dust. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 17, we see that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. We're talking about a removal of breath in Genesis chapter 6, 17. I told you this ain't no professional talking here. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. How's he going to do it? Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Everything that is in the earth shall die. You say, well, God killed everybody by a flood. Yeah. How'd the flood kill everybody? Because people can't swim forever, and there ain't no air underwater. And God drowned everybody. He drowned everybody. And what's drowning mean? That you suck water in your lungs instead of air. Because there ain't no air. See? And the Lord said, wherein is the breath of life? So see, death in the scriptures is described as a removal of somebody's breath. And I ain't never seen a dead man breathe. Breathe. You stop breathing when you die. It's a removal of breath. This bad thing with this coronavirus that's when it first started up, and it's still going on right now, and everybody's just scared to death of it, and the media's being sure that everybody's scared to death. It's scaring these people to death. I mean, influenza's been killing people for years and years and years and years, and heart attacks and everything else, but this thing is all of a sudden the most important thing, and he let everybody calm down a little bit and then get back on it again and scare everybody to death again. Ought to get in that Bible and find out what's going on, and find out what real fear is. The Bible says, the Lord says, I will forewarn you. The Lord Jesus said this, I will forewarn you what ye shall fear. fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's what people ought to be fearing. And trust in the Lord for things. And I ain't talking about being stupid and just running up there and eating something with coronavirus on it. You know, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having some good sense and trust in the Lord. The Lord said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out on your own. But that's the way man is. Man thinks he's smart enough to answer God's questions. And Job can tell you something about that. But death naturally is described as a removal from breath. Here's another one. Psalm chapter 104 and verse 29. The Bible says, thou hidest thy face. Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust. Don't get no plainer than that, does it? And I don't think anybody's contradicted that yet. I don't think anybody's calls that to be false. Been plenty to try. Plenty to try. But there's even one woman, when we talked about her the other day, she got a telephone in hers. But she ain't been able to pick it up yet. That's not all. Death naturally is described as the removal from a tabernacle. A removal from a tabernacle. Now, in the scriptures, the Bible refers also to your body, your flesh, the covering that you are in, as a tabernacle. As a tabernacle. In the New Testament, the Bible refers to that quite a bit. In 2 Corinthians, specifically, chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and Paul just told you where it's going. It's going to dissolve. Were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. We don't have to worry about that. This tabernacle here, you ought to be thanking God every day that you don't have to live in this thing forever. Like it is, and in the fashion that it is, cursed and sin, cursed with sin. That body is cursed, and that's what God says. That's why Jesus came and took on flesh, so that he could die, a sinner's death in the flesh, and defeated that flesh. And now our flesh is going to go back to the grave, and our bodies are going to die like his did, and then we're going to be resurrected. We read that just a minute ago, see? But it's going to be a body like unto his glorious body, a spiritual body. But it's going to be something you can see and touch. Yeah. God can do anything. God can do anything. Just because it's a mistake to think just because you can't understand something, it ain't real. Right? Death naturally is described as the removal from a tabernacle. That's not all. Here's another one. Death naturally is described as becoming naked. Becoming naked. Now, it's talking about naked concerning your soul and your body. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He's talking about getting his new body. He's not talking about, he said, I ain't talking about being unclothed, in other words, without a body, which he was at one time. He said, but to be clothed with my new body, and get this mortality off of me and put on immortality. And that's what he talked about in another place about that we must put on immortality. Remember? That stuff is real. Praise the Lord. Only reason the only thing we haven't seen is the other part, the other side. But we sure can testify of everything God says about this side, can't we? We sure can. But it's described as becoming naked. Remember the souls that were talked about that were under the altar in heaven, and they were asking the Lord and saying, when are you going to avenge us? And this is tribulation saints that had their head cut off, and they left their body and went up there to heaven and were under the altar up there. And they asked the Lord that, when are you going to avenge us? And the Lord said, well, just be patient, because there's other saints down there that's going to have to die like you and have to be killed, he said, and have their heads cut off and come up here too. He said, but while we're waiting, he said, give them some clothes to put on. Give them white raiment to put, white robes to put on. And he gave them something to put on. Remember? And they were under the altar until they put on those robes. The Lord clothed them, see? And a soul can wear clothing just like it can this flesh. They didn't have bodies. Their bodies were down on earth. But the Lord clothed them in white robes. White robes. All right, here's another one. Death naturally is described as sleeping. As sleeping. We talked about that. We talked about that. I believe we even read it. John chapter 11, verse 11 to 14. We'll read it again. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now, remember what kind of, how they mocked the Lord, and I mean, they kind of probably laughed with kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing when the Lord told them, Lazarus is sleeping. And then they kind of giggled at him or whatever they did and mocked him because they knew he was dead. They knew he was dead. But the Lord said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And what we've been reading here about death is not ceasing to exist. It's being absent from the body for the saint and the body sleeping. So the Lord told the truth right there. They just didn't read the Bible. They didn't know what the Bible, they didn't know like we know. It said, these things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. In other words, bring his body, bring his soul back into his body, and his body come back awake. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. I mean, if he's sleeping and that's all there is to it, he's all right. You ain't got to hurry up. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, that he's sleeping. You see, there's another verse where we're talking about that sleeping business. That I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, wait a minute. Did Jesus mock himself? Did he contradict himself? He said Lazarus is sleeping. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And then the last part of his last words, just plainly, he told them Lazarus is dead. Can you imagine what them people was, what them apostles was thinking? He told them Lazarus is sleeping, and and then he turned around and said, Lazarus is dead. What are you talking about, Lord? But the Lord knew exactly what he was talking about, and we've been describing that for the last three lessons. When a saint dies, his body goes to sleep, and his soul leaves it and departs. Lazarus was dead. He was out of his body, and his body was sleeping. And the Lord said it. He said he goes that he can bring him out, awake him out of sleep, bring his body, bring his soul back into his body, and wake his body back up. Just as simple as it is, ain't it? Not one contradiction nowhere concerning anything that we've been talking about. This matter of death is no big, not like the evolutionists make. If they get in their Bible, it would just simplify the simplicity of Christ. It'd be so simple, a child can understand. You could sit here and explain this stuff to a seven-year-old Bible school class, and they'd understand every bit of it. And accept every bit of it. I ain't seen no kids fighting over evolution yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Where you have young people fighting over evolution. I remember when we used to be kids, if somebody said God, when you out there, all the kids hanging around one another and playing and stuff like that, and somebody said God or something like that, everybody else would put their hand over their mouth and back away from him. Yeah. Death naturally, as described as sleeping. We sleep. Your body sleeps. Your soul goes to be with the Lord. That's not all. Here's another one. In the scriptures, death naturally is described as a departure. As a departure. Now, how are you going to depart something if you're dead? If you cease to exist? If you're immobile? How are you going to depart something? Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, 23 and 24, listen to this. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Paul talking about he's kind of confused about something. He's got two things and he needs to make a decision. He wants to do one thing and he wants to do another thing. He's in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to depart. To depart what? Well, Paul was a traveler, man. He was a missionary. He went everywhere. What's he talking about departing? Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He's talking about dying. He's talking about leaving his body to depart. What, is there part of you something? Is there part of you, Paul, that can depart? You better believe there is. It's that person back behind your eyes, that ghost. That's what the Bible calls your soul, a ghost. Didn't you know that? Why didn't you know that? And to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, I want to depart and go be with Christ. But nevertheless, to abide, for me to stay in my body, in my flesh, in my tabernacle, is more needful for you. Isn't this neat? It's just as plain as the nose on your face. And some people got some noses, don't they? Glad you can't see mine. All right. Here's one more that we're talking about. What are we talking about? Death naturally? Death naturally. We're talking about death naturally, and particularly, we're talking about... what are death naturally? What are descriptions of it? Descriptions of death naturally. All right. And so far, we've said that it's a removal of breath. It's a return to dust. We talked about that it's a removal from a tabernacle. And none of these things have contradicted each other, not one time. And the Bible has given us scripture on every single one of them. Death naturally is described as becoming naked. It's becoming naked and described as sleeping, and also described as a departure. Paul just described it as that. And another one. Death naturally is described as yielding up the ghost. You say, I have a ghost? If you got a soul, you got a ghost. You never watched Casper the Friendly Ghost? Only reason Casper, you could see him, is because he had a covering on him. But he was a ghost. What we are, our souls, are invisible. They're shaped like our outer body. But you're a ghost. If you used to come out of your body right now, nobody could see you. You're invisible. Until you get a body fashioned like unto Jesus' body. Paul said that he was in his body. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. Now, how do you get confused about not knowing whether you're in your body or not? Because you as a being, your soul, is fashioned exactly like your body, that you're covered. Except that you're a soul and you're a ghost. and you're inside that body, and what you're looking at when you're looking at your hands and looking at your feet is a covering of what's inside of you, your soul, you, your being, you. Death naturally is described as yielding up the ghost. Here's the proof. Acts chapter 5, verse 10. This is Ananias and Sapphira. Remember when they lied about the money that they were given? This is church people. This is members of the church. They came in and put that money. Ananias come in and put that money at Peter's feet. And the Holy Ghost told him, check him. And Peter said, did you sell that property for every bit of this like you're saying? And Ananias said, yeah. And God killed him right there. He fell down dead. And then a couple hours later, his wife came in, Sapphira. That's a pretty name, isn't it? She came in. And I can imagine what the church people, it got pretty quiet in there. But she came in, and Peter asked her, tell me, did y'all get this much money right here? Is this all the money that you got that you said that you given all the money for your property that you sold? And she said, yeah. And here's what happened. Acts chapter 5, verse 10. It says, then fell she down straightway at his feet, Peter's feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. Now, wait a minute. She yielded up a ghost, but they found her body dead. She was gone. She went to paradise and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Boy, that Bible is so perfect. So perfect. All it's been doing is stacking truth on top of truth, on top of truth, on top of truth. Every time we read another verse. I love God's Word. It never confused me, not one bit. Now, I might confuse myself, and anytime you get any kind of confusion or anything like that, it's usually because you ain't studied enough. You need to study some more. Just get in there and keep digging, and it'll all flow right together just as perfect. It will. So we're talking about death. We're talking about this thing of death natural. The subjects that we have studied so far in death natural is regarding some truths that we studied about it, remember? All right, and then we just got through talking about death naturally and what it's described as. Well, here's another category we're going to look into right here while we're talking about death naturally. Some things that are recognized. Some things that are recognized after a natural death. After a natural death. What does the Bible say or that is recognized after a natural death? Let me give you an example. There was a guy, one of my mentors that God's put several men in my life to teach me, and I'm thankful for them all, and you should be thankful for the ones that God put in your life to teach you. But he went to be with the Lord, and I'd go out there. He planted a tree out there, and a fella kept running into it with a lawnmower, and I'd go out there and check on it to make sure that it was okay and keep on growing, kind of say hello and stuff like that, you know, if you can't say hello to his corpse, and you know, but I'd just out of respect, you know. But I was watching that graveyard. It was a graveyard that had just started being used, and there wasn't that many people in it, and you could tell when somebody new came. Well, I noticed this little bitty thing laying out in the field by itself, or in the middle of it, rather than going down the road, you know. It was out in the middle. And I walked over and looked at it, and there's a little bitty silver, probably about, I don't know, 6 inches wide, and probably 3 or 4 inches tall, and it said somebody's name. And that was all that was sitting on top of that grave or at the head of that grave. And I thought, well, that's all right. I mean, if that's all you can put there, that's all you can put there. But the thing that made it peculiar was that there was a unopened Miller Lite beer can and an unopened Bud Light beer can sitting on both sides of it, leaning up against his headstone, the little bitty plaque that they put out there. Out of all the things that fella could be remembered for, be recognized for, after he died naturally, was two different kinds of beer. Nothing else. What a way to disrespect somebody. That's all your buddies can do for you after you die. Things that are recognized after death naturally. Well, departed saints are recognized by the living after death naturally. The living recognize departed saints. Let's listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1 through 8. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light, as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, if it is good for us to be here, if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Departed saints are recognized by the living after death naturally. Peter and them recognized Moses and Elijah, and they recognized them from knowing them from the scriptures. They recognize. And that's not all. What else? Well, something that's recognized after death naturally is a greater knowledge in the future world. A greater knowledge in the future world is recognized after death naturally. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Listen to this. Paul said this, For now we see through a glass darkly. You can see an image in there. You can see something in there, but you can't get it cleared up or get it focused in. It's like you're looking through a glass darkly, and you can't make it out perfectly, but you know what's in there. But then he said, for now, being in the body, being here, for now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. I know some things. I don't know everything. But then shall I know even as also I am known. You see, death naturally causes greater knowledge of the future world. We got everything to look forward to. You don't know the half of it. I don't know the half of it. We know what God has told us, and that's studying. That's a whole lifetime of studying. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's studying God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's just getting in the book and loving the Lord and honoring Him and learning about Him. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to study God's Word. You don't have to. You do it because you want to and because you love the Lord and you want to know His Word. Yeah. But everything that we're finding out down here is amazing and brings joy and gives us our hope and helps us to live a better life in this body while we're waiting on the Lord. But I think we got more to look forward to than anything. I think the very best thing that's ever happened to us in this body is going to be the least thing in glory, don't you? We got all kinds of stuff to look forward to when death naturally happens. What else? Not only is departed saints recognized, and we get a greater knowledge in the future, but the truth is illustrated after death naturally. When people die, and when we die, and when a person dies naturally, a whole lot of truth starts coming out, doesn't it? Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 through 24. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man. He was rich. Did you hear that? There was a certain rich man. And you know how people respect rich people. The Bible says that people despise poor people. They don't despise rich people. Just because they got money, they're somebody. You see. And I'm not talking about the ones that are saved, that are obeying the Lord and minding the Lord. And that's got to be some kind of discipline and suffering on itself, is to have a whole lot of money and to walk upright with the Lord, and having all that money with that temptations on you. That's got to be hard. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people that use their money for the wrong reasons and think that they're somebody and their money's going to get them somewhere after they put him to bed with a shovel. There was a certain rich man. You know, he was respected and everything. The Bible's talking about these, and the Lord said, this is not a fairy tale. This is not a parable. He never mentioned that. He said, the Lord is telling something about history that he knew that took place. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his flame. And we know what happened after that. Abraham couldn't help him. Abraham just reminded him that the way that he was living on earth was not the truth. You see, the truth is illustrated after death naturally. The Bible says in the last days that the devil's going to deceive the entire world. Did you get that? He's going to deceive the entire world. And if you walk out in society right now, right this minute, in 2022, and walk out, you can go out for an hour and come back with 59 minutes worth of deceit. It's everywhere. And if you're born again, you can see it. But the truth is illustrated after death naturally. Death brings the truth out on everybody and everything. The Lord said, every word that proceedeth out of your mouth, you're going to give account of. Every idle word that comes out of your mouth, that's words that you didn't even mean to say, or you was just blabbing. And I got plenty to answer for that, don't you? But the truth is illustrated. And we see a major illustration right here with this rich man, and we see a major illustration with Lazarus. Lazarus was putting up probably with a bunch of despising and everything, and that rich man might even been calling the police to have him removed down there because he was messing up the look of his property or something, being down there all sored up and dogs licking on his sores and him down there wanting the crumbs to eat out of a man's dumpster. But when death came along for both of them, there were some amazing changes that come about with the truth. Death brings the truth out. Sure does. That's another reason why the world's trying to find out how to stay alive, so they can remain liars and live in deceit, because they know when they hit that grave, they're going to find out some truth. And they know that if they don't accept Jesus Christ, their Savior, they're not going to like it. The Lord says everybody is without excuse. No excuse, Lord. No excuse. But for people that are born again, nothing but good truth. Nothing but truth that we can enjoy and have joy over, right? Amen. Amen. So what have we talked about today? It's been some good stuff, hasn't it? Talking about death naturally. And that death naturally is just what it's described as, we talked about. And we also talked about things that are recognized after death naturally. Now, these are things that people don't think about every day. But we should, because the Bible talks about it all over the place. Did you know that all the different things that we've been talking about concerning death of the saint and death of the wicked and death natural, the different topics that we've talked about and the different truths that we've talked about, we've had scripture to back every single bit of it up. It's what the Bible says. Did you know all that? You know, death's not talked about in that way in the world and in society. They make all kind of films and movies and stuff like that about death, and a bunch of games where all these kids can learn how to slaughter people with guns and knives and all that kind of stuff, and murder people in their bedroom on the games and stuff like that, you know. But there's no truth in it. It's here, but it ain't after death. Okay, we'll stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures. And the next time we come together, we're going to talk about death eternal. Eternal death. We've talked about death of the saints and the death of the wicked. We've talked about natural death. And on the next one, we're going to talk about eternal death and what the Bible has to say about that, okay? Here's your scriptures for this one today. Death naturally. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 17. Psalm chapter 104, verse 29. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 and verse 3 and verse 4. John chapter 11 and verse 11 through 14. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. Acts chapter 5 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. And the last one we just got through reading was about Lazarus and the rich man. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 24. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord, huh? Praise the Lord that we don't have to worry about death, that we don't even have to, every time we think about death, we can be encouraged, right? Death is not ceasing to exist. Death is a departure for the saint. Also for the ungodly also, but completely different scenario, isn't it? God doesn't mind telling us about death. The Bible says, precious unto the Lord is the death of one of his saints. And I picture that as like being birthed into eternity. You know, if you've ever seen a child be born or one of your children be born, that is one of the most precious things that you can ever lay your eyes on or watch happen. And especially when that baby starts making noise and draws a breath and starts living, you know, or showing everybody else he's alive. Anyway, we'll just keep on going and keep on trying and trust the Lord and see what happens from then on, because whatever it is, if the Lord's in it, it's going to be good and it'll be right. Okay, death eternal. That's what we're going to talk about next time. And I hope that you join in. And we'll find out what the Bible has to say about death eternal. And that might wind us up on this next one. I'm not sure concerning this this study of death eternal, of death. You have a wonderful evening or a wonderful morning, and may the Lord bless you richly. And I pray that you pray for your health and your family and a roof over your head and for all of your the money that you need and for your bills to be paid. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.